This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hunt. Oh, what a goal! Two here. Tap to Misford. It's his and Coventry second. He's going all the way. Is he going to finish? He is. Oh, a magnificent goal from Darren Huckabee.
Coventry are going to win the FA Cup.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which as always is sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name is Tom Ward and I'm joined this evening by Dave.
Evening.
Evening, mate. And I'm also joined by Dean.
Good evening, chaps.
Yeah, thanks a lot for joining me, chaps. This evening we'll be looking back at yesterday's 3-2 win away at Reading. The great 3 points for the Sky Blues, albeit not the best performance on the day. And we'll also be looking ahead to the upcoming fixtures against Cardiff and also Barnsley. Dave, I'll start with you. How would you sum up yesterday's win?
Yeah, it was one of those sort of performances that we'd often go away and lose or draw. So I think it shows, you know, how far Mark Robins' team has come in terms of, especially from the first stint in the Championship, where, yeah, those games we probably would have gone amiss. So getting 3 points, especially on the road, when it looked like we were going to get pegged back and we didn't play the best at times and Reading frustrated us a lot, I think it's a really, really good result. And, you know, the juggernaut carries on, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good to see us see it out. And like you say, definitely shows sort of how far we've come. Again, perhaps we might have thrown away in seasons gone by. Dean, it was good to see you yesterday. Good to have an away day with you. But yeah, not the best performance on the pitch, but, you know, 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. Great to be back in the fold with the Sky Blues Extra lads on the road. Lovely to be back with everybody. I haven't been to a game for nearly 2 months now since I've been working away. So yeah, nice to be back in the fold. But as Dave said, yeah, I mean that performance yesterday was pretty bad. It's probably for me the worst performance of the season. And if we're coming away with 3 points, then you know we can't really moan, because you look at games this season we've played so well and come away with absolutely nothing. So for once I'll take a bad performance and the 3 points and we'll run away. But you know, Reading is one of the worst away days in history. We won't be remembering that game for a long time. I tell you the best part of yesterday was, Tom, when your mum and dad cracked out the sausage rolls. They were the best part of yesterday.
Always a highlight.
Yeah, that was a highlight. I feel like I missed out on the sausage rolls and I missed the goals as well, which we'll come on to talk about. So I had a bit of a mare yesterday. But
I was very close to taking a picture and send it into the Footy Scram Twitter account.
Complimentary halftime sausage rolls on behalf of Elaine Ward.
Absolutely sensational. So, yeah, thank you to the Wards for that. Really brightened up my Saturday, that's for sure.
Brilliant. Dave, we'll talk about the match stats.
Yeah, 54% possession, 13 shots versus their 11, 4 shots on target, and they also had 4. 410 passes completed versus 329. 14 interceptions, they had 15. 26 tackles won, they had just 18. And the infamous aerial duels, 12-1 versus 11.
Your favourite stat, that one, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, love jewels. A bit of aerial duels, yeah.
Yeah, you love a jewel. Yeah, we'll talk about
the team. We had a conversation in the pub for about 20 minutes about the aerial duel stat, didn't we?
Yeah, and it probably just correlates with the average height of the team, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what we worked out, that we're always going to win aerial duels, especially at the top end of the pitch.
We'll talk about the team lineups. Obviously, for us, it was just the one change with Bidwell coming in. Was it what you expected, Dean?
Yeah, I think so, to an extent. I mean, rotation is obviously key with how many games we're playing, and obviously the game against Southampton, and then who'd be playing midweek? Blackpool midweek. It would have definitely taken out the leg. So maybe I expected a few more changes. I think rotation is absolutely key. I was surprised Mattsson still playing ahead, you know, up the top in the pitch. I don't think he really suits that role personally. But Bidwell going in at left wing back was probably to stagnate Tom Ince or Junior Hoylett, depending on who was going to play on that right hand side. So he was probably in there for his defensive stabilities more than Mattsson. And then, yeah, I mean, the midfield situation is obviously not very good with Eccles and Kelly not available for the foreseeable future. So Heyman and Shea sort of picked themselves. I suppose you can play Allen in there. I don't really know what Allen's done wrong, to be honest, over the last couple of weeks. He hasn't been starting games, so I'd like to see him in the fold a bit more. But yeah, generally across the board, it was probably as it should be, especially away from home. But yeah, I don't know what you guys think about the Mattsson up the top end of the pitch. I just don't think he really suits that role, if I'm honest.
No, yeah, I'm not convinced by it so far, but I thought he was all right yesterday, and obviously he did get the goal, and you know, which obviously won us the game. But yeah, I think we could do with a few more options at the top end of the pitch, really.
I think it's his positioning, Mattsson, because I just don't think he sort of understands what you need to do in that front three. You need to hurry and press. I just don't think he has that really about him, and it's probably something you sort of learn as you go along, growing up in that role, in part of a three. So, I just don't fancy him there personally. But you know, he did okay yesterday, and obviously scored a goal, which we'll talk about being in that position. So, I guess I can't have too many issues.
Mm. It was good to see Dom Higham captaining the side, Dave. Obviously, you know, returning to the club where it all started for him as well. So, a special day for him.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, Dom Higham has been a stalwart, I guess, of Mark Robins' team for a long time. He's come through, he's played, you know, in all of the leagues with us. He's sort of come of age, if you like, and it clearly goes to show of, you know, high regard that he's held in by Mark Robins by giving him the armband the last two games now. And yeah, I think he seems to be, you know, organising the back, you know, the back three or whatever, the back five, well, at times. I still think we miss Fads, if I'm honest, in that sort of leadership. And I think we saw that a few times yesterday in terms of when the ball was sort of being pinged around the back, wasn't getting out, was sitting deep. At times, it didn't even look like we had an extra man towards the end. So I'd like to see that element of his game improve, I guess, and just get that, because I think Fads just makes us still look a bit more solid. But great for Dom Higham, very good player for me. I really rate him highly, and yeah, he's you know, he's had a great career with Coventry already, and let's hope we see more of it.
Yeah, he's been a real key part of that sort of rise up, hasn't he, from League Two into the Championship. Yeah, really great to see him get the chance to captain the side. We didn't really get going like we did on Tuesday, Dean, in those early moments, but we did have a really good chance through Vic, didn't we, which we should have scored.
Yeah, 100% needs to score in this position, but let's not take anything away from the goalkeeper here. Fantastic save, one-handed down low to his right. So he was made to work for it, but, you know, pulled off a terrific save. But yeah, you think Vic, in the form he's in, has got to bury that chance. And if we bury that chance, the game is completely different. They've got to chase, and And effectively, with O'Hare, Matson and Grocker is up top, you're always going to create more chances with having those three, especially with Grocker as with his out ball. So disappointed not to get that one in the goal early, because, you know, it becomes a much easier game for me from that point. But let's not take anything away from the goalkeeper. And brilliant from O'Hare as well. I don't think anyone's talked much about his awareness of Vic and getting the ball in between two defenders for Vic to have the chance. So, really well played from O'Hare there, who yesterday didn't have his greatest game, I thought, but, you know, the bits he did do well were really, really good. Good from him.
Yeah, good bit of play that. Indeed, we talked just before the game really about Zhao probably being their biggest and probably one of their only threats. And unfortunately, he got them into the lead, didn't he?
He did. It was a poor goal because we don't close down that cross quick enough. And then there's the talk of him coming across Rose, and Rose is pretty stagnant, is he, when Zhao is making that run. And yeah, he's a top player at this level. Lucas Zhao scores goals for fun. It's probably, you know, why Reading are down where they are. He hasn't played a hell of a lot this season. He's been out for pretty much most of it, only coming back in January. So, with him back in the fold for Reading, I do expect them to score some more goals, especially ones like yesterday, because when you've got the quality of, you know, John Swift putting in balls in the box, Lucas Yao is always going to be on the end of them. So that was a big threat yesterday, especially early on. You can see it quite clearly, or what they were trying to do is get some balls going across our defence so Lucas Zhao could come onto them. And obviously he did for the goal.
Yeah, disappointing to go behind, especially, like I say, after having that really good chance early on to sort of, you know, get ourselves into the lead. Hamer got booked, which felt like he's probably his 50th yellow card of the season or something, Dave. Is it becoming a bit of a concern for you? I know we're hearing that the two-game ban, is it? We haven't quite had that confirmed yet, have we? But people seem to be thinking
it. Definitely is a two-year.
Yeah. Two years, wow.
He must have done something awful.
To be fair, that yellow he's got.
Did he two-cat as well?
Yeah, put it in a bin.
He kicked two cats.
Two-match ban. And yeah, it's a huge, huge concern. He's our biggest asset, I think. Everything that I think we did well against Blackburn in that first 15-minute spell seemed to come through him. Most of the play that we had yesterday that was, I'd say, you know, tidy or neat and the most threatening, it was probably coming through him majority of the time. And you just can't afford to lose that talent for just so many games. You know, not only... is it when he actually gets a ban? So that's two games, and he's had a game already, I think, hasn't he? And he's, you know, in the first season he got sent off and that was a free match ban. But it's also, it gives Mark Robbins a decision to make nearly every week, or it feels like nearly every week, in that he's either teetering on the edge of a booking and Mark Robbins is thinking, well, should I save him because he's got a tot in up order? This could probably be the best thing for him, I think, in that, you know, it's sort of done and dusted. It's a two-match ban. It's not great. Ideally, I think we'd need him for Cardiff. Barnsley, probably not as big a concern. But you just can't have that disciplinary record, because you're always running the risk of, one, are you going to have to come off because you're teetering on the edge of a red card? And two, match bans. We don't really have any other players like that, apart from Sheaf also is becoming, you know, also a player that seems to be getting booked every week. And that's just because he seems to be a little bit late sometimes arrival, and he doesn't seem to have, neither of them seem to have that, that experience of comfortable to just let a player go and not bring them down. There's certain situations that you have to do that, of course, but majority of the times it didn't. And yesterday was it a shoulder barge? I can't remember if it was the shoulder barge that was the final booking. I mean, that ref was an absolute joke.
Yeah, he wasn't getting booked for that challenge. He got booked for throwing the ball down.
Right, yeah. And there was one in a halfway line as well where he sort of, he couldn't really get out of the way, and he had an attempt at the ball, which he brought a player down. But they just seem to be these very clear and obvious fouls, and it just winds referees up because it's breaking the play up, it's breaking it, it's stopping the play, stopping the flow, and referees are always trying, I think, to keep the match flowing and keep it going, and that's why they just feel like these fouls, they'll book them. The ref yesterday, I mean, he's given so many yellow cards this season that it's, you know, it's going out of fashion. But for Hamer, it's a big concern for me.
Yeah, it would be a shame not to have him for the next couple of games. Great bet though, isn't it, Dave? Putting a bit of money on him to get booked each game.
Yeah, I mean,
a little money spinner.
Always for the bet builder. But I just think it almost feels like he's going to get booked every week. And I think the biggest problem with that is more for the coaching staff of whether or not knowing to leave him out there. And yesterday it felt a bit like, well, we were saying we should bring him off now. We should bring him off because he's probably going to get sent off.
Headless chicken, wasn't he, in that second half? Just sort of diving into stupid tackles where the ball was going anywhere. And, you know, he's going to give the referee a decision to make. And like you say, Dave, like at this level, the referees just brandish him out like anything in the Championship.
And so you need your best players on the pitch. And, you know, it doesn't matter what he does in the first 15 minutes against Blackpool. If for 20, 30 minutes of a game, because he's been booked, or he's possibly going to get booked, you know, on 60 minutes and you happen to bring him off and change your formation to protect him, it's just another, you know, you don't kind of get that with Kelly, for example, do you? Kelly, you know, he picks up bookings, but you never really
the smart see, ones aren't they
yeah you never really worry that Kelly's going to get booked or you know, do something stupid, whereas I think that's like seems to be in Hamer's 101 rule book, really.
I don't think you want to take the aggression away from his game, though, because that's a huge part, but he just needs to be smarter about it. Yeah. And there's lots of players in this division that have got that sort of same capabilities as Hamer, same aggression, but they're a lot smarter, a lot cuter, and they get away with a lot more stuff. You know, I look over the years, the likes of like Tom Huddleston's quite aggressive player, but he got away with quite a lot over his career in the Championship. So he needs to take a leaf out of that book, I think, not take it away from his game, but just be a bit cuter and smarter in future.
And Dean, talk us through the equaliser. I actually didn't see it, so I stupidly went to get a beer. So obviously I've seen it back. But yeah, talk us through that back goal.
It was a free beer, Tom, was it?
Yeah, well, they were free at the start. They weren't free at half-time, so I don't know what was going on.
Oh, I know a couple of people got a couple of freebies at half-time. You must have went to the wrong guy.
It was all quite random, to be honest. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, so well, you didn't miss much. It was a very, very scruffy goal. And like we said, like when if we scored early, the game changes the flow. And when Reading scored, they just seemed to be in the ascendancy from that point. And for the first time, we got a little bit of a foothold, got some more passes away and got ourselves a corner. And obviously, the corner was cleared. Hamer with the awful half volley and flicked in by Dom Hyam into the corner. So yeah, very, very scruffy goal, but it felt like we needed a scruffy goal to get back into the game. I think that's what it was going to take. And a great time to score, isn't it? Always before half time. Gets the heads down of Reading going into the half, which they play really well for a change. So yeah, perfect time to score. And yeah, great to see Hyam again on the score sheet.
Yeah, really good to see us come out at the start of the second half, Dave, and score again. Doesn't feel like we've done that at all this season, have we? So great to see us have that real fast start to the second half and, you know, get straight into the lead.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we said this yesterday, but Reading, as bad as they were, you know, they really are the worst team we've played this season. And I think even a sort of 70% levels of most of our performances would have been enough to have brushed them aside yesterday, and they seemed to invite a lot of pressure onto themselves. They gave balls away a lot, and we kind of slipped to their level. But coming, you know, we've heard that Robbins was, you know, a little bit upset at half time, and I'm sure he sort of got stuck into the players a little bit to say that it wasn't good enough, and you know that he got the reaction he wanted, and you know we got ourselves then back, you know, back ahead and back into the game and a chance of walking away with 3 points, which is what we really needed.
A brilliant header, wasn't it? By Rose.
Yeah, great flick on.
Incredible. Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, we've been so much better, I think, from set pieces this season.
100%.
And, you know, I think we're actually a threat from them. I think we used to get set pieces and you'd almost just, you know, pick your phone up or talk to your mate next to you because you think, well, this is going over the bar or we're not probably going to do anything from this. But we actually are converting a lot of them, aren't we, this season? And, yeah, that was, you know, another player really that is, you know, continuing to improve and continuing to be, a you know, an ever presence really in the Coventry side. And I think... He's still got little bits to work on and still got bits to do. But I think, you know, another real solid bit of business, really, if you think about where he's come from Mark Robbins and what he'd potentially be worth or, you know, or if you had to go out and buy a similar player now to what Rose has become, I think you'd be looking at a lot more than, of course, we acquired him for. So, another shows another bit of great business that Robbins has done.
There's definitely going to be interest in him in the summer, Michael Rose. Mm. He's just the perfect defender at this level. And he could probably go a step further as well. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him in the summer, especially if he's got, you know, dreams of and aspirations of Qatar at the end of the year. There's no reason why him and Hyon are not in the shout for that Scotland squad. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, good to see defenders chipping in with goals as well, isn't it? Because we've talked a bit about how reliant we are on the strikers and pretty much all of our goals have come from Godden and Jokeres. So it's also important, isn't it, Dean, with the, you know, to have the defenders chipping in to get us more goals.
Absolutely. We need goals from somewhere. You know, we've only got, you know, one fit striker at the moment in Jokeres. So, I mean, if you look across the board, we haven't scored many goals from our midfield. Jamie Allen's got one. O'Hare's got one, Hamer's got two, Shippey's got one. So there's only five goals from the midfield. And I think that's five goals now for the defence as well. So, yeah, you know, you need to spread the goals out across the team if we haven't got, you know, the firepower up front. And it's always been the case with Coventry City, hasn't it? We just haven't scored enough goals in whatever division we were in. Even when we won the league in League One, it was 1-0, wasn't it? We didn't score a boatload of goals to in winning that league. So we definitely need to be chipping in from elsewhere. And if we've got the delivery of Hamer from corners and, you know, Todd Kane's delivery yesterday was pretty poor, but on the whole, he's been really good. So we definitely need to have them chip in from all over the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. And at this point in the game, we really should have got hold of it. We should have been out of sight, really. But, you know, classic, we make it really hard for ourselves and concede a really, really poor goal, dude.
Yeah, from a corner, and it sort of goes through four players. But I look at the play before that, Wardy, if I'm honest, and sloppy again in midfield, losing the ball hopelessly, giving them a free shot on goal, which obviously results in the corner that they score from. But yeah, scoreboard defending on that corner. A lot of people are saying if Fads is there, that doesn't happen. I'm not sure. I just think it's really poor all round. We're better than that, especially defensively, to let a ball go through sort of three players and the challenges that are made are poor. And I think I said it to you guys, the zonal marking, I just don't like it.
I find it so interesting though, because a team that we're not that great, even though we've got a really good defensive record, I think, well, we did have, you know, and even last season at times we invite so many balls into the box. Like, no team can suffer that amount of balls coming into the box. And yesterday, before the first goal, you just felt it was coming because we just allow so many crosses into the box. And yeah, it's fine if you deal with them, but it keeps putting you pressure on you. And I just don't know why we do that. We don't get out to, you know, our wing backs don't get out onto people's touch, you know, quick enough. And that means that we back off, and then a ball then comes in. And all of the recent goals have all come from that. A ball that's gone out wide and we just haven't dealt with it out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. More pressure equals more mistakes. And we don't want to be making mistakes because we don't score enough goals to counter mistakes.
I just don't know why you'd want to invite that ball and be camped in your own half. And that's what I think was frustrating yesterday, where we should have had our foot on the ball and we should have been making the extra man work hard for us and just keeping the ball. And we didn't at times. We felt like there was times where we were camped in our own 25-yard box. Balls were being peppered in. And Reading still had three centre-backs, behind the ball. So, and it still looked like they had the amount of same men as us. I just can't understand why we allow so many balls to come into the box when we're not that great at dealing with it. But any team doesn't really want to be dealing with balls into the box because it becomes a lottery. It's just a very strange tactic. And I think we need to get out and close them down. You know, these players, when they've got chalk on their boots, do it there, especially if you bring them down. It's even sometimes, you know, it's even better to bring them down there if it's going to happen than it is. But you can't keep allowing your box to be peppered. It just, it's like you say, Dean, it's the pressure. It just builds up and builds up.
And Hoylett got his second yellow card, obviously got his marching orders. You did sort of feel, Dave, that, you know, we would go on and win the game. And like you said, we didn't have to play at 100%. And actually, all we needed was one chance, really. And we probably would have the quality to win the game at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And that's how it felt. Even when we had the same amount of players on the pitch, it always felt like if there was going to be a bit of quality that was going to turn the game, it was going to come from us. There was times when we got free on both right and left sides, and always seemed to have, you know, them through passes that were being run onto. And every time Jokeres got the ball into feet, he didn't hold it up as well, I don't think, yesterday. But when he did turn a defender, it felt like something would happen. So yeah, once, you know, Hoylett was gone, it did feel like, you know, we should easily be able to go on and win this now. And of course, that pressure and that extra man did tell.
Yeah, absolutely. The winner did come. It was Mattson this time. Obviously, a lot of help with the deflection, Dean. But yeah, like we said about the defence, good to have players like him, you know, chipping in his goals.
Deflection. It was a well-executed lob, I thought. And played for it. No, yeah, a good goal in the form of, you know, he's made a great run and Jokeres has actually passed for a change onto a through ball and take the shot. You know, more shots. Take more shots, you've got better chance of scoring goals. It doesn't matter how they go in, it just matters if they go in. We don't take enough sort of pop shots. We try and make that perfect goal too many times, and you know, it's a scruffy goal, but we'll take it. So yeah, it was good to see Mattson make that run. He didn't make them enough for me yesterday, but when he did, obviously he made it count.
Yeah, it's a good point that on the shooting, because, I don't know, it gets quite frustrating watching us, doesn't it? And the amount of times the crowd is sort of screaming for us to shoot, we just don't do it. It just goes to show, you know, just get far more shots in and we will score more goals. Like, that's what, you know, one of the players who does that is Jody Jones, noticed. He always has shots and he scored all sorts of goals where a lot of players perhaps wouldn't shoot. I definitely want to see us do that more, Dean.
Oh, you have to. You've got to take more shots, you know.
Because weird stuff happens, doesn't it?
There's, look at the Mattson goal. That is a weird goal. You know, and if he doesn't take that shot first time, he probably doesn't get the loop. And, you know, keepers in come out of his goal to obviously deal with the situation. But, you know, we get a fortunate break for a change. And I saw Callum O'Hare take a couple of pot shots yesterday. They you know, that's what I want to see more of. You know, I want to see us get the dirty goals. I want us to get the stupid goals. Because The more opportunities you create, you are going to get one of them go your way. And it did yesterday. And we need to keep doing more of it. It's okay, you know, playing great football up until that final third. But if you don't do anything with the ball at that point, then, you know, what's the point of everything, all the build-up play? Just take more shots. Yeah. And I know people shout, shoot, you know, from 50 yards. Obviously, don't shoot from 50 yards. But when the opportunity is just outside the box, take a shot. You know, we're not going to bemoan you taking a shot, especially if there's no other option on. So, you know, just take a shot and who knows, you might win the lottery.
Yeah, might win a corner, could score. Like, yeah, definitely worth it. Robin's made his subs quite late on again, Dave. Do you felt like we should have got some fresh legs on a bit earlier? Or do you think he got that right?
Yeah, this is another one, isn't it? It's been the talk of Twitter about Robin's subs and when they're coming, when they should be coming. Look, at the end of the day, we went away. It should have been an easier trip than it was, but winning away in this league, let's be honest, is no easy feat. It's always going to be difficult to get 3 points on the road, and we did that. And Robbins was in the day, his subs, his decisions, and I think he sort of got the job done, and therefore you can't be. But I think Alan did give us a little bit more in sort of hurrying Reading, and I think if it probably was a little bit of earlier, it wouldn't have mattered. Because he does give that to you, Alan. He does have that really quick press and puts people under pressure. And a team like Reading, a player like that makes them make mistakes. And I did think we looked to get, again, a bit leggy. But it's just worrying, isn't it? Because we haven't actually got that many fit players at all at the moment. So it's we do need to start using that, rotation of the bench.
Yeah, definitely. Now, hopefully we can get some more players back because, we do look a little bit thin on the ground, especially with this sort of Saturday, Tuesday that we've got at the moment. I thought we saw the game out fairly well in the end, Dean, and a really, really important win, wasn't it?
Yeah, massive in sort of the grand scheme of things, keeping on sort of the coattails of those chasing playoffs. If we've still got ambitions to hit those heights, then we need to be beating teams like Reading and keeping up with other teams around us. And a good thing yesterday, results went our way from other games around the division. So lots of draws, couple of losses for teams as well. So good for us. It was a well fought 3 points. Obviously the performance, as we said, not great, but you'll take it every day of the week. And we've still got those games in hand, especially on Huddersfield, who are occupying one of those spots somehow still. Huddersfield, I honestly don't understand how they're still where they are, but obviously they're there on merit, and it's up to us to take advantage of the 3 games in hand we have over them and overtake them.
Mm. Yeah, I was looking at the table today. It's very, very interesting, isn't it? There's a hell of a lot of teams in the running, isn't there, Dean? Which is mad. A few people saying it possibly will mean that the points tally to get in the playoffs this year won't be as high as other years. But I just think with that many teams going for it, you can obviously win your game, but you're always sort of slightly relying on other results, aren't you? It's quite hard to sort of get into that sixth place. So it's going to be a mad end to the season, I think, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of those teams have got to play each other quite a bit as well. I mean, we've still got, games against teams around us too to play, so they're going to be the really important ones. Can we gain on somebody? Can we move away from somebody else? It's going to be absolute frantic end of the season, and I'm all for it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a bit crazy, but let's see what happens. I think the squad is going to go against us with how many games we've got to play in such a short space of time. I think that's going to be our downfall at the end of the day, but I'm enjoying it while it lasts, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just nice to be in the mix, isn't it? Just nice to have something to play for. Obviously last year we were playing to sort of survive, and now it's looking at the other end of the table. It's just a nice progression, isn't it, from year on year?
Yeah, it's good to not look over your shoulder. I suppose the only teams we're looking over our shoulder on are the ones that can, potentially take one of those playoff places that we want. So, yeah, different thought process towards the end of the season than we had last season. So, yeah, not much nicer to be in this position we're in now than this time last year, because I just remember us all panicking quite a bit before that Rotherham game.
I think we changed our mind every week on the pod last year, whether we were staying off or going down, didn't we? It was mad. Well, I'll grab a man of the match from you both. Dave?
I'm going to go for Rose. I thought he had we conceded goals, but I thought he had a really solid game. And as much as some of the mistakes that we made at the back, I think we equally made as many mistakes in the midfield and up front, to be honest. So on the balance of things, Rose for me.
Do you know?
It's funny you go with Rose, because I was listening to the Foden on the way back from the ground, and the first guy on there was absolutely slating Michael Rose. And Oggy put the world to right. So well done for Oggy for sticking up for Michael Rose.
Seagrass is a funny listen, isn't it, Dean?
It is. Yeah, there's some strange callers on there.
I was thinking it was a bit of a parody, to be honest. I just can't believe that some people are serious.
I don't think some of them are, if I'm honest, Tom. I think, you know, a bit, you know, the old clickbait for radio with some of them.
It has to be.
Probably, you know, someone next door in another studio calling in to act the goat, basically. But yeah, it's always a
good
listen.
Your name's John this week, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Going live in five.
That's where Clive gets off to. He disappears for 20 minutes. He says he goes to
fake moustache on.
Yeah, he's just calling into his own show. Michael Rose, yeah, good from him yesterday. But I'm going to go with Hamer. I just thought, like Dave said, everything that we did well yesterday sort of came through him. So yeah, for Gus Hamer for me.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on and look ahead to the Cardiff game on Tuesday evening. Dave, Cardiff haven't had the best of seasons this year, have they? But I do feel like this is a really tricky game still. Perhaps their league position doesn't quite sort of tell you, you know, what they're about.
No, I think it is. It's a tricky game. Look, I just said it before. Any away game is tricky, but a Tuesday night in Cardiff seems even more trickier, I think. And it's not really a team that we seem to have an amazing record against. I haven't looked at that to back it up with any facts. But why, you know, why?
Really, we don't do facts on here.
No one sees the other on the rival and whatever. So
the only facts we do are the aerial jewels, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Exactly. Yeah, that is. But I don't know. It does feel like a tricky game. They're also a bit on the up. They lost yesterday, obviously, to Millwall, which doesn't look on the face of it. I haven't watched it back, but doesn't look on the face of it a good result, you know, at all. But 4-0 against Peterborough. They played well in the cup, I think, against Liverpool. And then, you know, beat Barnsley and Forest. So they seem to be having a bit of a renaissance, I guess, in the league. And I think on a Tuesday night away from home, it is a tricky tie with especially a few players out. So I'm a bit worried about this one, if I'm honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Dean, what have you made of Cardiff this season?
I expected better for the squad they have. They really haven't hit the heights that they would have expected to, for sure. I mean, 16 losses in the league, that is a huge amount for a team of sort of Cardiff's pedigree, shall we say. Okay, maybe they weren't going to sort of be touching the playoffs, but I do expect them to be a very, very comfortable mid-table side. So, yeah, very, very surprised in how they've played this season. Yeah, like Dave said, it's a very, very tricky one. I thought they played really well against us earlier in the season. I thought they were one of the biggest threats that we've had, especially aerially. And I mean, James Collins had that brilliant chance, didn't he, as well? Kiefer Moore's a handful.
He's moved on, hasn't he?
He's gone now. But yeah, I mean,
he's probably
that night, you're right, though. They played nice football where they seemed to turn us a lot. They sort of played intricate passes and then pinged it long to Kiefer Moore and got support to him. And that, I think, at times we struggled with, didn't we?
Absolutely. I think we always seem to struggle with a really, really tall, strong man, which is odd because you look at our centre-halves, we should be well-equipped really to deal with that situation. But like we said, Dave, it's the pressure. You know, they keep bombarding the box. We're going to make mistakes. And that's probably where teams like Cardiff get.
To be fair, we do that to other teams, don't we, with Jokeres? Like, it's so strange. But how many times do you think he can't do anything from where he is? And he sort of stands a defender up and looks to go past them. And then before you know it, they're on their back pedaling. I suppose it is a bit the same. If you've got a decent front man, it is quite difficult to you know, look after him, I guess.
Yeah, I would, you know, politely disagree in the fact that in regards to Gyökeres, it's not sort of
as
aerially.
You're politely disagreeing.
I'm politely disagreeing. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you off air what I actually think. Just for the listeners, though, they need to feel I'm being polite. But I when you say aerially, I don't think Gyökeres wins a huge amount of aerial duels.
No,
more,
I just think
it's more
he
like
seems
the ball's
to
in the channel
well.
And holding it up, yeah, yeah. Into feet, into chest.
But he always
kind
looks
of
to go past people. And I think with that, from a seemingly looks like a not a very threatening situation, you've still got two men behind the ball and Gyökeres has got his back to goal. As soon as he starts to turn and starts to try and go round people, they back off and it starts to make things happen. And I feel like we're a bit the same when balls come sometimes over the top and into players, in that we just don't seem to deal with it perhaps as well as, you know, some of the other teams in the league. But
what I don't think we deal with well is, you know, when they flick it on and bring others into play, whereas Gyökeres turns on it and goes.
Yeah.
That's very different into how the likes of Kiefer Moore, I know he's not there now, obviously, but in to how he plays, and Lucas Jao, example, on Saturday, they bring others into play rather than Gyökeres sort of is direct. So I don't know what we've turned into, what the best attributes of Gyökeres. But yeah, in regards to going back to Tom's point on Cardiff, I don't think they've really found their way of playing. I think they're one of the teams that have played so many different formations this year to try and find a solution to their issues. And I don't think they've really found it as of yet. I know they've got Jordi Hugill now as part of their setup. So he'll be a threat. You know, he scored quite a few goals against us over the years as well. So be interesting to see how we deal with that. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Cardiff's always a tough place to go. It's a bit of a cauldron at times if the fans are up for it. So it'd be interesting. It's definitely the one this week which I'm worried about is the Cardiff game.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Dave, in terms of how we'll set up, I suppose we're not blessed really with loads of options. Obviously, we expect Hamer to be unavailable. So how do you think we're going to sort of approach this one?
Yeah, I think it would be very much similar to how we set up for Reading. I think it possibly would be Allen, maybe Shipley. But I think, you know, Matson will still occupy that role. It's not really any option. I think it would still be one up. You know, we're just looking really, really light, like desperately light. And if Waghorn doesn't, you know, we don't know what Waghorn's injury is at this moment in time. So it'd be interesting to know how long that is, because if it's similar to what it was last time, then we're really struggling, because I know we're looking to get Godwin back and Dabo's back, but it's we're looking very light. So I think it will probably line up exactly the same, and I think Allen will come in for Hamer.
I mean, the big question is how much has Gyökeres got in the tank, because he looked absolutely gone after about 35 minutes on Saturday.
Yeah,
and obviously, if we have Waghorn there, at least he takes it away from Gyökeres a little bit. But at some point, Gyökeres has got to come out of the team, hasn't he?
I think Twitter will get their wish. I think, you know, there's literally the only way that you can. Yeah, I think literally Tavares probably will get some.
He's going to have to play at some point.
He's going to have to. You know, it is actually exactly that. Unless
you brilliant for him. Go great opportunity. Like
Jody
him,
Jones. Sorry.
Great opportunity for Tavares to be in this position where, you know, we might rely on him, and just he's going to get his chance, isn't he? And if he does do well, I'm not sure if he's ready yet, but, you know, you just never know, do you? He could turn out really well.
We saw this last season, didn't we? Max was seemingly not really ever going to play, to be honest. And then he went from not really playing to having to play with an injury, and seemed like everything we were doing up top, which was pretty decent, seemed to be coming through Max Bjarmo, which sounds mad to be starting about that now. But he was probably not going to get minutes last season. And because of injuries to Godden and it just, that's what happened, isn't it? And I think hopefully this, you know, we need someone like, you know, Tavares to come out and do something, because we are, yeah, very thin on the ground.
Mm. I'll grab some predictions, Dave.
I'm going to hope for a 1-1 draw.
Fair enough. Wouldn't be the worst result. Dean?
Yeah, I'm with Dave on that. Hope for a 1-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lose this one, just on the basis of, you know, the legs being shot, basically.
Cool. Well, we'll submit a 1-1 for the Tweet League, which I don't think we're doing very well in, to be honest, but we'll persevere anyway. Just a final mention of the Barnsley game. Obviously, we won't do a massive preview because we've got a game in between. But you sort of mentioned, Dean, they haven't been particularly good, and this is a game we want to win, won't we, on Saturday at home?
Yeah, and this is one where I would expect us to come out all guns blazing and, you know, turn Barnsley over. They've been really, really poor this season. I think their one shining light was the game against us at the start of the season where somehow we didn't come away with 3 points from that match. They just don't score enough goals, Tom. And, you know, they haven't replaced big holes in their team, which they lost last year. The likes of Mowat, Chaplin, Ritzmeyer, Solbauer. They've lost all these big names and they haven't filled them up. So that's going to be to their detriment because they're going to get relegated, I feel, at this point. So, yeah, we've got to show much more intent, bit of energy. It's going to be hard, the energy, obviously, with how many games we've played over a short space of time. But this is the one we just spoke about, Tavares. I think this is the game where he could come and start a match at home. Less pressure on him at home too. So, yeah, he might get a run out. And that might be something that Barnsley might not be able to deal with, his pace.
Yeah, definitely. I think he'd probably get a great reception from the fans as well, wouldn't he?
Imagine that, making your debut at home in front of the Sky Blue
Army. When everyone's calling you to be in the team, it must be a great feeling for him to be so wanted in the team.
We don't know much about him, do we? We know, obviously, he's played a lot of under-23 football. He's scoring goals for fun down there. So let's give him a chance. And, you know, Saturday could be the perfect opportunity for that. And it gives Jokeres a rest as well. He needs it. God, the poor lad is running on empty.
Yeah, if we can beat Barnsley, you know, and have been able to give a few players a rest, that would be a real result, wouldn't it, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, our fringes of our squad is enough to beat this Barnsley team. You know, the likes of Jody Jones might get a run out. We might even, who knows, we might even play a Pep false nine. You know, that might come into the fold at some point.
I was thinking that with someone like Jody Jones, it's probably the only options we've got. If you know, I don't know how far Gordon and Waghorn and stuff are away though. Do we still?
Gordon can't be too far now. I would have thought. Did he say a couple of weeks? What, a week ago or something like that? I don't know. But
it's also the fitness as well, isn't it? It's very hard to come back from actual surgery. Rather than, you know, just a niggle or something like that. So
yeah, although Matty Gordon's he's tended to get back pretty quickly up to speed, hasn't he, in the past? Which is a positive.
Yeah, he puts it in, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd expect him to be a back up speed pretty quickly, which will be helpful. Even if he's on the bench, I guess that like you said, it gives us another option.
Can I just mention one quick thing for Saturday? Corley Woodrow, probably Barnsley's best player, is out for the rest of the season, so that's a huge loss for them. And you know, he's one they rely on for a lot of goals and sort of passing the ball around. So that's a huge loss for them. So we have to take advantage of that too.
Yeah, Dave, what are you expecting from Saturday? Expecting a good game?
I don't know if I'm expecting a good game, but I'm expecting a win. You know, it's just another one. It's simple as. Away from home, it's always difficult, but we said Saturday had to win. It's just a must win. You know, you're playing against a team that are all out of sorts, awful. And the same for this. You know, we've been great at home this season for majority of it. Some games we haven't been able to grind it out, but we've just got to take the game to them and, you know, totally, you know, bowl them over with just the great passing football that we can play. The intense start that we seem to have at the CBS, that first 15 minutes, but not let it go by without a goal. And I think, yeah, we've got to be beating Barnsley.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll grab some predictions, Dean.
Someone's going to get a hiding at some point, and I think it's going to be Barnsley. 4-0.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0. I agree that, you know, we're not far away, are we, from giving someone a bit of a shoo-in. So, yeah.
All right, well, we'll take Dave's 3-0 for the Tweet League, I think.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I know you do your own one for the Tweet League anyway, Dean, and you do better than the page. So.
Well, let's not talk about my performance over the past 2 months.
Have you slipped down a bit?
Slipped down, yeah.
Mid-table consolidation season, is it now?
I'm going for the Tony Mowbray.
It's all that sun in Dubai. Get into your head.
Yeah, go for the Tony Mowbray end-of-season party, which happens about now, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, exactly. Start sliding down. Well, cheers for that, lads. That's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks a lot for joining me. Listeners, do check out our partners, Short and Horn, across all their social channels. And as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation, all you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.